Hello, my name is Edgar King and I'm the lead pastor of Trinity Vineyard Church Nakuru. I am so grateful that you are tuning into our podcast today. Head over to our Facebook page and see some of the information that you may need if you're in Nakuru and you'd like to join us. Nonetheless, we will still be online for those who are unable to join us in person. Thank you very much. I hope this installation of talks today will be a blessing to you.
Let's just not rush. Let's just stand there for a while. I just speak freedom over you to just surrender to what God is doing. We surrender to what you're doing, Lord. Lord, just blow over us like a gentle breeze. In Jesus' name. Thank you very much. You may be seated. Again, I'm Edgar King. If you're just joining us now on the live stream or in the room, I'm the lead pastor, and I've been longing for this Sunday. It was good to be on break. I just want to lead you through a different part of our worship. Giving is an important part of worship. Giving is an important part of the journey of being disciples of Jesus. And it's a lot of things other than just an expression of worship. It's freedom from our hearts from the hold of money or possessions. We are training our hearts to be free from that hold, to say that we will have things, but things will not have us. It's also a way that you communicate that you're part of this community, you believe in what God is doing here and in this city through this church. So especially if you call this your church home, I encourage you to give. So that's why we have the brown box at the back. You can give like that if you're doing cash. If you're doing M-Pesa, our till is on your screens, 193399. And if those options aren't available for you, please contact us and we'll lead you through that. Why don't we just pray? God, you're an amazing Father. That you've brought us back together is such a huge gift. And we bless your name. So come speak to our hearts, both as a community and as individuals. In Jesus' name. So, one of the things I find really annoying is trying to find something, but you don't know where to look. You know? A common statement from African mothers, because at least that's my experience, is you never see anything. So if you aren't raised by an African mom, let me invite you into the story. African moms would would come into the living room from the kitchen, then send you back to the kitchen to get something. Anyone has had that experience? So they just came from the room, then they send you back, oh, go get me this. And when you are younger, we have one special gift. You never see anything, partly because you're distracted. either by just what happened, or just because you want to go out and play. And so it became a common place for African mothers to say, "You never see anything." But wouldn't it be easy if someone said, "Well, look for it there," right? And as an adult, now the things I never seem to find that I wish that someone would just say, "Here it is," is things like my keys. I often can't find my keys, and sometimes it's on Sunday morning. So I've been trapped at home on Sunday morning trying to get here, and I wonder, well, thank God for live streams, because maybe one day if that happens, I'll just, you know, stream from home. I've really wanted one of those buzzers that you can ping and get where your phone is. Oh, sorry, your keys are. And my personal quote-unquote favorite is losing my glasses. I often can't find my glasses. And sometimes I'm actually wearing them. So it takes walking by a mirror to go, "Oh, I found them." But it would have been so easy if someone just said, "Hey, look here. Look here." And the worst part is if you're wearing them, you know. And I think it's often easier to find something if we can be told, "This is where to look." And as we journey into 2021, wouldn't it be annoying, because our hearts are searching, but wouldn't it be annoying to search forever and get to the end of 21 and not find? And wouldn't it be helpful if we can have conversations about, "Hey, these things we often search for, here they are. Look here, this is where you'd find them." You know? And I think people are trying to find life. People are desperate for real life. The other thing I really believe is that Jesus is true life. Jesus is real life, life in abundance. And so some are aware that they're searching for Jesus. Some aren't aware. They just think they're searching for real life. And so for those who are in that category, I want to tell you, you actually are searching for Jesus. And this is an invitation to try. And wouldn't it be so cool if we could say, "Well, this is where you'd find Jesus." In fact, there's an exhortation from an ancient prophet called Isaiah. That's in Isaiah 55:6. He says, so turn your attention and seek God while it is still possible. Call on him while he's nearby. Seek God. Let's try and find God. And the good news is that God is near to those who seek him. This was Jesus' main message. He came to say that the kingdom of God is so close to anyone who seeks. The kingdom of God is within your reach. So that's some good news. If you're going to search for God while he's still available, Jesus says, "Well, the kingdom of God is nearby." So if you're going to spend 2021 looking for life, Jesus is saying, "Well, you're searching for me and I am within reach." So where can we look? If there is an encouragement to search for God while he's available, where can we look? We've come from a year of disruption. And, you know, as much as some things remain the same, we're all kind of glad that 2020 is over. I am so happy it is not 2020. I know some things still look the same, but there is a sense of hope that comes with new beginnings. I'm so glad 2020 is over. It's gone, my people, you know? So we're walking this path with a sense of hope. Yet there's some valuable lessons that we can pick and have picked from 2020. You know, one of the lessons we probably all of us have probably picked is that life is fragile. Life is fragile. We've seen that play itself over and over again through the last year. And so that leads people to actually want to be fully alive while we still can. And guess what Jesus says about that? That he's come to give us life and life in its fullness. Not just to live, but to live fully alive, abundance of life. I think the other lesson that probably people have picked from 2020 is that there has to be more than this. It cannot just be that we get up in the morning, maybe go for an 8 to 5, maybe have a meal. There has to be more than this. Especially if life is as fragile as that. There has to be more than this. It cannot be just about a good house and the material things we can have, especially having seen how fragile life is. So what is it about? There has to be more than this. It cannot just be about a great vaccine. Well, that's not it, because we now know it can be anything else that we'll battle as a human race just the next moment. So what? There has to be more than this. There has to be something more to life. And I think the response of Jesus is the same. I come to give you life and life in its fullness. If you're searching for real life, for abundant life, I've come to give you life and life in its fullness. As much as last year was disrupted, one thing that wasn't disrupted was humanity's deep need for God. If anything, our deep need for God has been exposed. If anything, our desire for something deeper, something bigger, something more meaningful, for the reason for our living has been exposed, and it's in our faces. And this is why, you know, the disruption, during the disruption, we talked about anchoring our lives in the unchanging. But, you know, somehow our souls are built to want something that isn't changing. And we've seen from last year how things can change so fast. Yet we still desire to be anchored in the unchanging so that our souls are not obliterated. And I invited us, we could anchor ourselves in the unchanging God, in His unchanging kingdom, in His unchanging love. Because our need for God has been exposed more. Our search for God has been exposed more. So where do we look? So I think, how are we going to do this? So we'll start this series where we're talking about, you know, if Jesus is life in abundance, where do we find Him? So we'll start this series, where is Jesus? And I think where a person goes, there you will find them. I wrote that down and I felt like Solomon when he was writing Ecclesiastes. It sounds so, you know, like it fits there. Where a person goes, there you will find them. So actually, we will walk through the life of Jesus and what are the places He used to go? Because He had life and he's inviting us to follow Him. He might be saying, well, actually, you will find me in these places. And so the first journey we take with Jesus starts very early on. I figured it's kind of cool to if we have a story of Jesus from when He was young, it's kind of cool to start there at the beginning of the year, especially because we just came from Christmas when we were talking about Him as a baby. And so one of the stories comes from a time when Jesus and His family were making a pilgrimage to Jerusalem. And this is something they did every year. They would go to the temple in Jerusalem to worship, for a very big celebration. And we find Jesus there when He was 12. So I want to read from Luke 41 to 52. Every year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the Passover festival. When Jesus was 12 years old, they attended the festival as usual. After the celebration was over, they started to go home in Nazareth. But Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. His parents didn't miss Him at first because they assumed He was among the other travelers. But when He didn't show up that evening, they started looking for Him among their relatives and friends. When they couldn't find Him, they went back to Jerusalem to search for Him there. 3 days later, they finally discovered Him in the temple, sitting among the religious teachers, listening to them and asking questions. All who heard Him were amazed at His understanding and His answers. His parents didn't know what to think. "Son," His mother said to Him, "why have you done this to us? Your father and I have been frantic, searching for you everywhere." "But why did you search?" He asked. "Didn't you know that I must be in my father's house?" But they didn't understand what He meant. Then He returned to Jerusalem with them and was obedient to them. and his mother stored all these things in her heart. Jesus grew in wisdom, in stature, and in favor with God and all people. So the first time we see Jesus is in a place that will become a common place for him, at the temple, at a place of worship, at a place of gathering for worship. And this became a common place because we will see him a lot in the synagogues. So there was a temple in Jerusalem, just one temple, but there were smaller places of worship called synagogues. We find Jesus a lot in those places. Actually, when Jesus says what seems to be his mission statement, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me to do this and do that and do that, he actually says it in a synagogue. So the place of gathering for worship, equivalent to a church gathering, is where we first find Jesus, and it became a common place for him. And he does this as he was 12, but this was a usual thing, an annual thing, so it's safe to assume that he actually did this a lot more times. You know, and this is a time when church has been bashed, you know. In fact, it has seemed not even interesting to associate with the word church. Actually, some churches don't even want to call themselves a church, you know. So some Christians just go, well, I'm a believer, but I don't go to church. But you know, the church is God's idea. Gathering to worship God is God's plan to heal the world. And there isn't really a plan B. And for Jesus, this was important. It became a commonplace for him. And you know, you find him with the leaders, the religious leaders, whom he often actually disagreed with and was critical of, yet he was there with them. Not once, so many times. You know, I think God intended that a place of gathering for worship is one of the places we would find him. If we're searching for Jesus in 21, a place of gathering for worship is one of the places we will find him. So even when there is trouble in the church, God hasn't given up on the church yet. You know, even when we look at church history and we find things that are not very interesting, God hasn't given up on the church yet. Even when we look at the church's engagement in politics and sometimes it's troubling, God hasn't given up on the church yet. Even in a season where it's harder to congregate together, God hasn't given up on the church yet. Even when we don't always agree with what the leaders of the church are saying, God hasn't given up on the church yet. Better still, Jesus kept going to the synagogues and he was at the temple, even amongst the Pharisees that he often didn't agree with. God hasn't given up on the church. And I think that means we shouldn't either. If Jesus can be found there, we should be found there too. And I think it's also a picture of God's generosity. The fact that God can be found among such broken people. The fact that God wouldn't give up on the church that has been mired in some things that sometimes we're not very proud of. That shows how generous a Father God is. That he keeps pouring himself out. He keeps being available to his children. And he hasn't given up on the church yet. There was a time Jesus was gathered with his disciples and they talked about who he is. And they went, oh, some say you're this and some say you're that. And they had an important revelation just revealed by the Spirit of God that you are the Christ. You're the Son of God. You're the anointed one. You're the one we've been waiting for. And Jesus looks at Peter because he's the one who said this and pretty much says that on this revelation that I am the Christ, I will build my church. Now, the word church there comes from a word called ecclesia, and some of you might have heard it. What some people actually don't know, because there's been thousands of years of using this word strictly for the church, but at that moment, that word was a political term. Ecclesia meant a political gathering, more like political rallies for a politician. So if the BBI comes to town, and then all the people for the BBI go to the stadium, that would have been called an ecclesia. So if Tanga Tanga comes to town and all those people go there, that would have been called an ecclesia. It was a political gathering. So the people who were hearing Jesus knew exactly what he is saying. He's saying, we're going to be gathering. But he's also making a very political statement. You know, sometimes people ask whether believers should be engaged in politics. Sometimes people ask whether the church should have anything to say in politics. Well, Jesus had a lot to say about politics. This was a very political statement. Jesus was essentially saying, because then they had kings and Caesar was king in that time, when Jesus said, I will build my ecclesia, he actually was saying that I am king. And if Jesus is king, it meant that Caesar was not. That's why Rome killed him. He made such an outrageous claim. Because if Jesus is king, Caesar is not. And sometimes, well, yet the kingdom his kingdom was different from how the world does kingship. Yet sometimes in this century, we forget the importance of that message. Because especially this year when there's so many big political movements happening. In the U.S., in a few days, there'll be an inauguration of a different president. In Britain, the U.K. has officially left Europe. I wonder where they will go. There's no room in Africa. No, they've just left the EU. There was chaos in Ghana last week. BBI politics is gaining steam here in Kenya. There's huge political movements all around us. And Jesus is making a very important and a political statement. He's saying, if I am king, no one else is not. At a time when there is this, especially in the West, there are some moves towards extreme nationalism and the deception of Christian nationalism. Jesus is making a very important statement. If I am king, no one else is king. And I think some of the things we're seeing in the world might take time to actually ever take back. Some of the extreme nationalist things that are happening in the world might take time. And so I think this is way more important for us to get now. And even if you think about the things that are happening here in Kenya, it's becoming more apparent that our politicians want to keep saying that they are our messiahs. And Jesus keeps saying, no, listen to me. If I am king, no one else can be king. And I think that means that it's time for the church to stand. And when we've done everything to stand, in the words of Paul, we have to stand firm. Because these things will keep gaining steam, and we should not lose our focus. Because if Jesus is king of our lives, Uhuru or Raila are not king. They cannot be king. That's not where our allegiance should be. Ruto isn't king. He cannot be king. Our allegiance cannot be there. If Jesus is king of our lives, Trump is not king, and Biden is not king, and Boris is not king. And so it's a constant invitation to actually ask ourselves, where are our allegiances? If Jesus is king, we belong to his church, his ecclesia, his gathering, not any other. We belong to his church, not the church of our political parties. And I'm saying this because politicians will often try to sell themselves as the Messiah. It's a false message. It's a false gospel. It's a false gospel. Jesus instead makes a very clear invitation. He's inviting us to a different kind of politics. He's inviting us to a different kind of gathering. There's a gathering there, there's a gathering here too. And Jesus is saying, hey, on the revelation that he is the Christ, that's the rock that his church will be built on. Because this is the kind of gathering that will of the kingdom of God that will move against the powers of darkness, the oppression of men and women, that will move against all the things that have oppressed God's children. And guess what? The gates of hell can't prevail. And sometimes we read that and it almost seems like we're under attack. No, Jesus is saying, no, we are on the move and we are on the offensive, and the gates of hell will not prevail. Darkness will not prevail against us. There's nothing the enemy can do to stop us. But we must build this gathering on one thing: Jesus is King. Jesus is inviting us to the same gathering he started at, a place that he continues to be at. You know, really, the invitation is to a place of communal worship, where we can worship together as God's children. It's an invitation to a place of public reading of Scripture. And that's why we read Scripture out loud here, because there's power in God's Word. It's a place of sharing in communion, as we will do, as we've done every Sunday. It's a place of joining the global church. We're saying that we are one body wherever we sit this morning. It's a place of actually what Paul calls the communion of saints, that we are saying we are one with even those who went before us. That's why this gathering is so important. That's why this is one of the places we will find Jesus. That's why this is one of the things he said, hey, on this I will build my church. The church is God's idea, no matter what we feel about it. No matter the kind of chaos sometimes we see in the church is God's idea, and he hasn't given up on it. If you're looking for God, maybe for the first time in your life, because you've seen the disruption of 2020 and you're just going, maybe this time I want to try this invitation. One of the places you will find God is here. And why? Because faith comes by hearing God's word, and here you will hear God's word. In the church, you will hear God's word. So if you're really searching for God, it doesn't matter how far you are. It doesn't matter if you even believe yet. You're just thinking, what if? Gather with believers. You know, if you're losing faith, or it feels like it, because sometimes doubt skyrockets and you're thinking, what is all this about? The same thing. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing God's word. Jesus is inviting you to the same place. Gather with believers. Paul says, you know, one of the apostles and a great church planter, he says, I encourage you to not stop gathering together as some are in the habit of doing. And why do some stop? Some quit because they've been hurt. If you put even five people in something called a family, they will hurt each other. Well, now try putting several families together. Well, they will be hurt. Others quit because they were disappointed by how the church has been led. Others quit because the church wasn't, you know, the history wasn't so good, or this or that. Whatever it is, God hasn't given up on the church. And Paul keeps saying, I encourage you to not stop gathering as others have done. And I think he knows one thing. This is one of the places we will find God. If you're looking for God, the invitation is here. Others quit because of something good. They found a small group. They finally are having fellowship as a family, and that's good. But those two things were meant to exist side by side. Now, I am not unaware of the public health challenges that we face at the moment. And I honestly think that it was one of the best ways to show the community around us that we love them, was to meet in a limited way, or in some cases stop meeting. That was one of the ways that we had to show we love each other and we love the community that surrounds us, even those who don't believe. What I'm actually inviting us to is to prayer, that this will be restored, that the ability to gather again in full celebration, in full joy, where we can embrace each other, we can laugh with each other, will be restored. Because there's nothing God cannot do. And God hasn't given up on the gathering of His children. And if you're in a place where you're losing faith or it feels like that, come anyway. Come for the good music. Come for your friend's company. Come for the questions. Come anyway. And when we finally can have tea again, come for tea anyway. Why? Because faith comes through hearing of God's word. Don't quit gathering together. And so even in this season, as we pray that this will be restored, I think we should also pray that God will give us creative ways of meeting. Because we can't afford to not. If you have felt in the world that you are totally other, maybe because of your tribe or because of your race or because you didn't quite believe, come. See, the house of God was meant to be a house of worship for all nations. This is where you are welcome. This is where you are welcome. Come. And so for believers, we're actually then being told to do what fits to that invitation. Open our doors wide and so that everyone can come in. Actually, Jesus opened the door. All we need to do is just follow through and literally open our gates and say that anyone can come through. Anyone, regardless of race, tribe, political affiliation, we are one family. This was meant to be a house of prayer for all nations. If you're a believer and you're looking to grow in Jesus, you're looking to grow as a child of God, this is where you're invited. Because this is where the Spirit of God will bring out those fruits of the Holy Spirit. Joy, peace, patience, long-suffering. You know why? Because you won't be able to choose everyone who sits next to you. So you might have to learn how to be patient. You won't be able to choose, even if you could choose the pastor you listen to, no human beings completely agree on everything. So sometimes you'll hear something and go, what is that? And this is where the Spirit of God will produce fruits in you. If you're in this place, if you're in a place where you're hurting, there's grief, there has been loss, there has been deep hurt, and you cannot sing anymore, come. Because this is where your community, your church community, will sing over you. Because there are times in life when you cannot sing. There's a worship leader in the vineyard, and I probably have said this story before. Her and her husband were expecting a child and they lost the child and it just threw them into a very dark place of doubt. Like, why? Where is God? But she kept going to church. And one of the things she said is that, I couldn't sing, but my church community sang for me. So don't stop coming because you're hurting. Don't stop coming because it feels like you don't even have the strength to move. Come, let us sing over you. Let us pray over you. Let us be your voice as God leads you through that dark night of your soul. This is where dividing walls are broken. This is where you find the least of these. So Jesus, in one of his more famous sermons, said, he was describing what it would look like when we first see the fullness of the kingdom of God, and And he said, you know, when I was hungry, you fed me. When I was naked, you clothed me. When I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. And the believer said, Lord, when did we do that? We don't remember meeting you on the streets and doing all these things. When did we do this? And Jesus said, every time you did these things to the least of these. Guess where you'll find the least of these? Here. Sadly, the world is organizing itself in some weird economic zoning. Like, there are people eat in different places. People live in different places. So you can have church, you can have worship at home, and that's great. And we're going there in a few weeks. But you might never see the poor knock at your door. And this is so important because when there was a big conference in Jerusalem to deal with certain things that were almost dividing the church elders told Paul, go, we release you, we bless you, go ahead with what God has given you, but do not forget the poor. Why? Because Jesus had expressly said, if you do these things to the least of these, you do them unto me. This is where you'll meet them. This is where you'll meet people who are not quite like you. This is where you will realize that actually you also have something to give. Because sometimes we sit in our homes and we think we are worse off. Then we come here and we go, oh, I also have something to give. This is where there will be no security guard like a Java who will keep certain people out. No, they will come in here and they will sit next to you. You won't have a choice. And the Holy Spirit will walk you through that journey where you will learn to love the least of these, where we will learn to love the least of these. And guess what? We will now go find them. Because the kingdom of God is on the streets. We were never meant to just be held up in here. We were meant to come in here, celebrate, and go into the world. This is where we meet Jesus. I want to call the band back on stage as we finish. So if you're searching for God this year, if you're wondering where is Jesus, if he is the source of life, he's saying, come. And a gathering of believers is one of the places you will find it. There have been movements in the past few years that have almost undermined public gathering of believers. And as I want to say again, I think because of public health challenges, some of the decisions that church leaders have had to make about limited meet gatherings and all that were very important. Yet we cannot lose sight of this. We cannot lose focus. We cannot lose the wonder that God has always invited us to when Jesus said, on this rock I will build my church. This church, well, not the, and I'm not talking just about Trinity Vineyard. I'm talking about the church of Jesus Christ. The church was meant to gather so that he can bless the city, so that he can bless the world. Because out of this place will flow love to those who have never told that they are worthy of God's love. There have been years of believers moving away from communal gathering, of moving away from gathering as the church for different reasons. Inconvenience. The church was not perfect, or we didn't like the songs. The pastor had too many failed jokes. That didn't go so well. But if we are going to find Jesus, this is one of the places he's inviting us to. Why don't you stand if you're in the room? Especially after 2020, I think people have discovered how much they can enjoy life without having to come, right? If you can watch it online, I think that's good. And we are committed to doing this as long as we can. But that's, you know, it's not yet complete. I watched people's faces as they walked in and seeing the joy. I couldn't hold myself together this morning because I have been longing for this gathering for so long. It's this was part of what we were called for, to worship together. Let us not lose the wonder. Let us pray for restoration and for creative ways to gather. The church is God's plan, and He hasn't given up on it yet. You know, Jesus asked, "Did you not know that I am supposed to be in my Father's house?" And so that's the same question for you. Do you not know that you're supposed to be in your Father's house? And so as these things were going through my heart and mind, I just felt to invite a few people to prayer. I think that people who've genuinely been hurt by the church. Over my Christmas break, I met someone who's just started going to church, and he had sworn never to because he'd been really hurt by the church. And God would like to heal that. God would like to give you a new vision for why you should gather with other children of God like you. And so if you're watching this for the first time, if you're here for the first time, and maybe you just did it for the new year, it's not by accident. God would like to heal those spaces. And I think there are also people just struggling with saying yes to an invitation to serve in the church. And you've been trying to run, but you can't unhear what God said. So come, Holy Spirit. So as the band just leads us, I invite you to just be present with God. Do you not know that you're invited to be in your Father's house? So I invite you to be present. You can sing along. You can just stand there in God's presence. You can be in prayer. Whatever it is, be present with all of you. And let's see what He's doing this morning. And I'll come out and lead us through communion. So Holy Spirit, come.